The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Seen anything like this. I've been living here for 6 years. There's so much smoke that it is blocking the sun.
We're finally actually seeing what was burning overnight. And it, you know, the term, the word war zone is such a cliche, but this does look like an area that has been bombed.
Bro, this is apocalypse in California. Bro, real life apocalypse in California. Everything is burning to the ground. You guys, it's like a zombie land. Look at this. Look at this, bro. Everything's burning to the ground, you guys. People left their cars. They left everything behind. Newscasts are out. If this ain't crazy, then what's crazy, you guys? Is the world coming to an end?
Life is much different today than it was yesterday or the day before for hundreds or thousands of families. You saw that driving video. That is the norm in Pacific Palisades. If you are able to survive this with your home intact, that is a rarity.
This evening across Los Angeles, there are now 6 wildfires. The Palisades Fire, the Eaton Fire, the Hearst Fire, the Sunset Fire, the Lydia Fire, and the Woodley Fire. Homes and cars burning tonight. Fierce winds sending fire embers down the street. The flames reaching the ocean.
Our fire resources are already stretched so thin.
But they don't have the resources to essentially put out all of these small fires, obviously. He says so far all of these blue hydrants aren't good, and they haven't been able to get water from them. So a little idea from the firefighters themselves of what they've been experiencing today.
The fire hydrants this morning at 8 a.m., there was one firefighter truck on our street. He could not pull any water from that. And so we started pulling construction businesses with big water trucks coming into our neighborhoods. Several of our neighbors have pools that we pulled from.
Whoa. Authorities are calling this an extremely rare, life-threatening Santa Ana wind event. Gusts reaching 100 miles per hour. More than 35,000 residents under evacuation orders. Nearly a million now without power.
Not one fire truck.
How long had the fire been burning for at that point?
At least an hour and a half.
No fire trucks.
No fire trucks.
No helicopters.
No, nothing. There was no preparation. They're telling you on the news we're going to have extreme weather, extreme wind, fire hazard, be prepared and all this. They're telling us, but then they weren't ready for it.
It's a nightmare that, I mean, so many people have faced, have ran from these flames and now are finding their businesses like this one gone.
I lived back here in these apartments for over 15 years and everything's gone.
Everything's gone.
Talking to some of the neighbors when I was driving around, and they were saying that how firefighters came and they said that there were no waters.
The water ran dry out of fire hydrants.
Yeah, so they said that they were there just shoveling dirt on their property, which is horrible.
You look around, it's overwhelming. Home after home has burned. Look at this burned out car and the metal on the ground that melted. These flames just so intense and relentless. It's just incredible to see. It's unbelievable to see.
Our firefighters are not going to be leaving here until this fire is, we have 100% containment. Right now, we're 0% containment.
God's trying to get our attention, pure and simple. You hear all the biblical language, apocalyptic, that sort of thing. And yet people don't really even understand what they're saying. What does this mean? He's definitely trying to get our attention. And we'll bring your attention to one of our booklets that we haven't plugged in quite some time. I'll come to that in just a moment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to the Rumble station or channel, make sure that you give us the thumbs up and leave a nice comment down below. Before we proceed, I haven't given enough attention to Celtic Throne Part 2, the second show, the brand new show. That's coming up this Sunday, 2 p.m. That's, January 12th? So you can go to CelticThrone.com and get all of the information that you need for this Sunday's performance, and then there's an encore performance the week after that. As to where and when they perform on the road with this show, that remains to be seen. But if you're here in central Oklahoma, we'd love to have you see the world premiere of Celtic Throne 2, The Psalter of Ireland, as you can see there on the screen. As I understand it, I think about three quarters of the theater have sold so far, the seats, that is, for this Sunday show. So there's still several good seats available, and you can get to the show online too if you don't live in Oklahoma. That too you can learn about at CelticThrone.com. So as I say, here's another event, another worst ever event. The Hollywood Reporter, it says that 7 of the 8 largest California fires of all time have occurred in just the past 4 years. That's some bitter affliction. That's some carryover. There's a lot of optimism with Donald Trump coming in less than 2 weeks. But 7 of the 8 worst in just the last 4 years. What is happening? You heard in the cold open the individual capturing some of that footage. Are we in the last days? Is this biblical? Listen to Jesse Waters from last night, clip 3.
And over towards Pasadena, the fire there continues to burn tonight. At least 5 people dead there. This is considered one of the worst fires, or the worst fire, in the history of Los Angeles. And it will likely end up being one of the worst fires in the history of this state and this country, Jesse.
One of the worst fires ever for California. The worst ever for Los Angeles. And watching some of this footage, a lot of people have commented they just haven't been able to turn off the news. It's agonizing to see what, and to see it happening. You can be sure that the government and the elites they're going to view this so-called natural disaster a little bit differently than the hurricane for those victims in the hills of North Carolina. Because, I mean, the elites now, the celebrity class, they are being pounded. They're being pounded by this. And we'll come to the causes of this and some of the things that Donald Trump has said. You know what's interesting, by the way? You've got quite a lot of chatter on the conservative side of media saying that, hey, Joe Rogan, he got this right years ago. He predicted this. Or they say the same about Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, hey, I told Newsom, you've got to bring in water from the north and make sure that the reservoirs are full and make sure that you clear away the underbrush. And of course, there's a lot of truth to that. But isn't it amazing how people get so excited about a flesh and blood human being that predicted something? And yet these same people give no thought whatsoever to a great being who talked about these kinds of events, fire from heaven, thousands and thousands of years ago. Yeah, we'll look into the book of Amos here in just a moment. And this is the booklet, as I say. We haven't plugged this in a while, but this is called The Lion Has Roared. This is one of the first booklets that my father wrote following the establishment of the Philadelphia Church of God way back in 1990. Malachi's message was the centerpiece. And then along came The Lion Has Roared. And you know, a lot of what we talked about and spoke about and what my father wrote about back then with that first copy of Malachi's message, it was about what was happening in Southern California. I alluded to this yesterday on the show. What was happening in Pasadena, California? A wildfire is pushing right up into that community as we speak. Pasadena was the seat of the Laodicean rebellion against God's truth. This is where Joshua and his fellows, and I'm going to have to leave it to you to dig into Malachi's message, to just learn about some of this history, tragic history. A fiery inferno of deception and destruction, desolation, spiritually speaking. That's what played out in the late 1980s and the early 1990s. We saw it, some of us. We lived through it. That part of the country right now is being pounded. This Hollywood Reporter, I don't typically quote from them too often, but basically they're saying, this is like a Hollywood movie. This is apocalyptic. We've never seen anything like this. The article says, perhaps the aspect that's most unique isn't any of the specifics, but the overall vibe that we're living in an apocalyptic age, particularly in Los Angeles. The pandemic, the strikes, the election, homelessness, studio contraction, media downsizing, and yes, fires that are now more, bigger, worse, so much so that simply getting homeowners insurance has become impossible in some areas. You may have seen reports on that. These insurance companies saying, you know what? We can't provide coverage anymore. We can't afford it. There's too many wildfires. There's too many disasters, particularly in California. What is going on? You would think there'd be a lot more discussion about the great God above and his predictions, his prophecies. They're not even predictions, are they? God has prophesied. And he's trying to get our attention. There's a lot of filth that comes pouring forth out of Southern California every day. That's just the truth. We played that clip for you yesterday, the fire chief in Los Angeles. She's a woman, check. She's a lesbian, check. She's in the LGBTQ community, check. And she's all about diversity. She wants more diversity hires. That's what they're hard at work at. It's the same with the Los Angeles mayor. It's the same with so many of these left-wing cities. Some real vile, filthy behavior that we celebrate. Look at this headline from Pride. I assume that's a homosexual publication. It's an actual headline. Amid Palisades Fire, Los Angeles's first LGBTQ fire chief is proving lesbians get it done. Let's bring in the lesbians to try to put out these fires. In fact, they don't have the resources to even fight these fires. That's why there's 0% containment. And we're talking about this? Seriously? You would think this is some kind of a sick joke. There's no way to fight this. That's what some of the firefighters are saying. There's no water in the fire hydrants. A lot of it's been diverted into the Pacific Ocean. A lot of this is brought on by man. Man-made disaster. But there's also something to consider from above. God, you know, there are instances in human history where God sent fire from heaven, from above. I mean, some of these scenes, the fact that it would just bounce around in a community like the Palisades, the fire just jumping over concrete roads. How? Well, because there's a 100-mile Santa Ana wind. It's the perfect storm, as you heard there in the cold open. These hot summer-like winds just carrying these embers all over the city. And buildings going up in flames. Fire from heaven, to an extent. Listen to this from, this is a local report from, you just look at some of this, the leadership, the corrupt leadership, the lack of common sense. We'll get to Governor Newsom and Biden's visit to the region yesterday where he talked about Hunter's rental property that taxpayers pay for. I understand that that just went up in flames. $30,000 per month. And there's the fake president yesterday talking about a rental property when a lot of people in SoCal have lost everything and they have no insurance. This is from 2022, talking about the Los Angeles Fire Department. Listen, you'll catch on. Just listen for yourself. Clip 8.
All over SoCal, people are trying to find ways to keep Ukraine front and center, and that's no different for the LA County Fire Department. Just a few hours ago, Supervisor Janice Hahn was here in Inglewood at Station 171 to show us how they plan to help. Supervisor, with the support of Supervisor Hahn's, the LA County Fire Department is joining efforts to gather and donate some much-needed supplies to the people of Ukraine. They've pulled together turnouts, boots, helmets, gloves, body armor, and medical supplies to aid the Ukrainian people during this time. This was a quick turnaround for LA County Fire as they received the request Tuesday and needed to get it prepared for send-off by tomorrow. Supervisor Hahn even wrote a note to send with the gear and said a prayer. She says she's been inspired by the bravery and the fortitude of Ukraine, and like many others, she's been trying to figure out in what ways she can help.
I think we are no different than any other American who watch that news footage every night and think, what can we do?
You know, that's another significant angle to this story. The fire that of course is in regard to, hey, let's gather up all of our firefighting equipment in Southern California and ship it to Ukraine. They need our help. And then less than 2 years later, here we are. Southern California is burning. And there's a shortage of everything, a shortage of manpower, a shortage of equipment and supplies, a shortage of water. How's that for curses? How's that for bitter affliction? As I was about to say, another significant angle to this story is you are seeing the complete and total collapse of the communist regime. Gavin Newsom, he's supposed to be in the running for president. These people are all being exposed. We've talked recently about how they've been exposed and silenced. The dear leader. I mean, he's off at Jimmy Carter's funeral with Jeroboam yesterday. And here again, Donald Trump, he's getting all the attention. And even the dear leader, he looked like he was enjoying a nice chat with Donald Trump. They've been exposed. They've lost their power. And Gavin Newsom, he can be all offended at the remark Mr. Trump made yesterday about how he should resign in disgrace. But Trump's right about that. They fight against common sense prevention of fires. They fight against it, because they're beholden to the environmentalist groups and all of these left-wing policies. And then when the fires break out, how convenient for them to say, well, it's climate change, of course. Now, how about clearing away the underbrush that's dry and like tinder, basically? It's like a spark. All it takes is a spark, and then you've got a wildfire. And then, to add insult to injury, no water to fight it. No water. Think about that. Skipping ahead to Where's the one? Clip one. Play that one.
We saw an apartment building engulfed in flames. I saw the fire engine pull up this afternoon. A fire captain have one of his firefighters attach a hose to a hydrant, and that hose didn't fill up, Alex. And I asked the captain, out of every 10 hydrants you attach to today, on average, how many are you getting full water from? He says, little to none. And it was at that point that really the whole crew stopped, looked up at this apartment building, and they realized there was nothing they could do.
Total collapse of these left-wing governments. They're already broke. They're cutting back. The mayor of Los Angeles, what, she reduced the fire department allocation by $20 million last year. The New York Post reported that. She's off, by the way, in Ghana until I think just yesterday she returned. She's at an inauguration event for the president of Ghana, of the Los Angeles mayor. And she's tweeting from Ghana, hey, everything back home in Los Angeles, it's just fine. The fire department has everything taken care of. And then she hurries back. She's confronted. I think it's a Sky News reporter. This was in the airport, I believe, yesterday. And it's a reporter that it's refreshing in one sense because you just never heard this. Someone actually confronting a radical left-wing communist leader with some hard questions. And you'll see how she responds in every case. This is clip 15.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today?
Can you back up, boss? I appreciate it.
Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster? No apology for them? Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
Not one word. Her city is going up in flames. Here's another woman from the LGBTQ community. She's leading Los Angeles. You've got an LGBTQ woman heading up the Los Angeles Fire Department, and their city's going up in flames. And they've been concerned for years about DEI hires. They've been concerned for years about getting more lesbians in the fire department working for the city. This next woman, she is the CEO of the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. She's responsible for water. Sounds pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Here she is trying to explain why there is no water. And at a crisis such as this, I mean, that's catastrophic. Clip 9.
We ran out of water in the first tank about 4:45 p.m. yesterday. We ran out of water on the second tank about 8:30 p.m. and the third tank about 3 a.m. this morning. Those tanks help with the pressure on the fire hydrants and the hills of Palisades. And because we were pushing so much water in our trunk line, and so much water was being used before it could get to the tanks, we were not able to fill the tanks fast enough. So the consumption of water was faster than we can provide water in our trunk line.
Someone on Twitter said that she makes $750,000 a year, this woman. I don't know much about her background like the other ones, but there's a lot of women, by the way, which, again, they're totally capable of taking on these kinds of responsibilities. But then you add to that, they check all the boxes in the case of the L.A. mayor. And then you see a tragedy roll out and all of these government officials getting paid handsomely, by the way. And they're just totally unprepared. I mean, that's a curse. That's an Isaiah 3 curse. These are curses coming at us from every direction. That's what it amounts to. The Santa Ana winds. The fact there's been some clips on social media suggesting that the homeless in a couple cases have started the fire. We don't know. We're not here to suggest that's but homelessness is a curse as well. All it takes is one match, because you've got all the kindling you need. You've got all the sparks you need. And then the Santa Ana winds come along. Well, I guess that makes Joe Rogan a prophet, right? He predicted this. What about God? What is God's position? Is God involved? Is he observing? Does he know what's going on? Can he stop it? 7 of the 8 worst fires happening in just the last 4 years for California. That's pretty bad. I mentioned on yesterday's show, my father, as early as 1993, talking about the curses that have been pounding California in particular. And of course, the reason he was on to that from the start of the PCG, I should say, is because he knows all about that spiritual history with Pasadena and Southern California. Those Laodicean, the ones that ran off like bandits, lining their pockets with tithes and offerings from God's people, they're long gone. I mean, they've long since left Pasadena. But still, those who are familiar with that history of the Worldwide Church of God, and I mean, that cover right there for the Trumpet magazine, that's from 1993. And it's talking about prophecies in the book of Amos. It talks about, you know, some difficult subjects, some harsh words, a God of judgment, or as it says there on the headline, a God of wrath. Sometimes we need harsh words. My father said this in a message recently. He was referring to the end of the book of Malachi and how that it ends pretty harshly and abruptly, and how that there's some people that like to read Malachi 4, verse 5 again after verse 6, just so that it ends a little bit nicer. Isn't it? I mean, isn't that human nature? Just give us smooth sounding words. I mean, you could be, we've seen this before, right? You could be standing in front of flames saying, hey, everything's working out. Fire department's got this under control. Everything's good. Plenty of water. We're very prepared for this. And how dare Donald Trump politicize this? At a time like this, really, is he going to politicize it? Well, what about some harsh words to help wake us up? There's an inferno in Southern California. My father, as I say, he was talking about this more than 30 years ago. And in this little booklet, he brings our attention to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's all the way back in the early part of Genesis. Genesis 19? And in that instance, God rained fire from heaven. He probably whipped up a Santa Ana-like wind, and that fiery inferno was probably just whipping up through that city, both of them, in a matter of seconds. That's how God corrected the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what were they doing? What were they engaging in? Well, the LGBTQ community was strong. In that, yes, that far back even. And God weighed in and he says, no, we've got to put these people out of their misery. They'll have another chance. God is merciful. He's going to give them a chance in the resurrection, the second resurrection. He'll bring them up and teach them his ways, his lifestyle. This is from The Lion Has Roared. Again, this little booklet. If you don't have it, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy, 1-866-930-3024. My father says here, he quotes Amos 4, verse 11. It says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and you were, as a firebrand, plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me? This is talking about destruction brought on by fire. And of course, he's talking primarily through here, my father is, about fire from heaven that comes in the form of missiles and warfare. But we're certainly getting a little foretaste of what's coming. These are war zones. You've got people driving through these cities and they're just completely obliterated. That's like World War II footage. That's like something out of Dresden or Hiroshima on a much smaller scale. But still, God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to wake us up. As we've been saying, even with the Jeroboam resurgence, he's giving us one last pass, and he's saying, okay, this is going to be the last time. If you're in any way familiar with the truth of God, with the teachings of Herbert Armstrong, you better blow the dust off that literature and dig in. I've been mentioning the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. If it's up there on the shelf or up in the attic, now is the time to go and get it. Now is the time to open it up. Now is the time to internalize this truth. I read these Psalms in the forum this morning. Let me see if I can get there quick enough. This is in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 16. It's not in my notes, so I'll have to use the Bible the old-fashioned way. This is Jeremiah the prophet, a psalm of repentance. And he says here, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I won't forget it. There was a time when Jeremiah was forgetful, when he was questioning God. You can see that in Psalm 89. When he said to God, basically, you haven't kept your word. He accused God of lying, basically. And God showed him a little bit later that, look, everything's unfolding exactly as I said. It just didn't work out the way you were thinking it would. But step back, look at the bigger picture. Here's the solution. And it was perfect. Jeremiah repented before God. He had forgotten some important concepts and teachings that God had given him. And in this psalm, Psalm 119, you see a psalm, a long one at that, of repentance. I will not forget your word, he said emphatically. He wasn't half-hearted by this point. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to try to remember. I'm going to try to hang on to it. I'm going to give it my best shot. He said, I will not forget. How do you hold fast? The Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Over and again in the Bible, it says, remember. Remember what you were taught. How do you do that? Well, back up to verse 11. It says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. If you look into the Hebrew language there, the meaning is, your word I've laid up in my heart. I've internalized this. You read through this psalm and you see over and again the prophet saying, I am thinking about, meditating on, considering your ways, your precepts, your commandments, and so on. He was thinking a lot, Jeremiah was, about God's truth, about God's commandments, about God's law. And then, of course, he was practicing it. He was living it. That's how you remember. Now, if you're a Laodicean Christian and you've veered off course, and like I said, if you've put the literature on the shelf, some probably threw it away. Well, you can actually get it back from us. You can get the United States and Britain in prophecy. We've got Mystery of the Ages. That's the magnum opus of Mr. Armstrong's entire ministry. Right there in one volume, one book, and we offer it to you without cost or obligation. You can get it just like you can get The Lion Has Roared. You can get a subscription to The Trumpet Magazine, Tomorrow's News Today. Just call that 800 number and request your free copy. My father says, just coming back to The Lion Has Roared booklet, he says, the reference in Amos 4 and verse 11 to Sodom and Gomorrah is clearly referring to the fire from heaven that destroyed those cities. And then he goes on to talk about the sins that were particularly prevalent in those cities at that time. It's the same today. There's nothing new under the sun. I mean, evil is waxing worse and worse, as 2 Timothy 3 says. But look, we can look back at history and see, okay, what happened to them in the days leading up to the flood of Noah's day? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And take away meaningful, valuable, sobering lessons so that we don't make the same mistakes. It says here, the same God who sent fire to correct Sodom and Gomorrah is going to send fire in this end time in order to correct the nations. That's all laid out in the United States and Britain in prophecy. Look at Amos chapter 5. We're here in Amos. It says in verse 4, for thus says the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek you me, and you shall live. Seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. It says in verse 6, seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. There's nothing around to quench it, to put it out. So seek God while he might be found. Draw near to God. In Amos 4 and verse 7, again, just to hit a few highlights that are all discussed in this booklet, I'd encourage you again to request your free copy. Add this to your library, a powerful, sobering read and warning. Chapter 4 and verse 7 talks about, you know, flooding in one region and drought in another. You see a lot of that around the world. It says in verse 7, and also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered away. It just withered away. That's an actual shot. I mean, what you saw there just a moment ago, this orange sky, you're seeing cities in Los Angeles that are dark at midday because of the smoke, because of the clouds. I mean, they really are apocalyptic scenes. The Hollywood Reporter's right. It's like something out of a movie, except that it's real. And, you know, as Donald Trump has pointed out, some of this, much of this, you could say, is self-inflicted. We're seeing communist leadership on display. It really is being exposed. It has been over this past year in more ways than you can imagine. But, I mean, again, Gavin, he's probably still going to be a front runner, knowing the way that it works on the radical left side. But they've been exposed, these people. Their policies, their destructive policies have been exposed. This is from Donald Trump. He was on Capitol Hill yesterday. I think he was meeting with the senators. But he said this with respect to what's happening in SoCal. Clip 13.
I've been trying to get Gavin Newsom to allow water to come. You'd have tremendous water up there. They send it out to the Pacific because they're trying to protect a tiny little fish. And for the sake of a smelt, they have no water. They had no water in the fire hydrants today in Los Angeles. This is a true tragedy, and it's a mistake of the governor, and you could say the administration.
For the sake of the little fish, redirect the water into the Pacific Ocean. Make sure that you don't clear out the underbrush, no matter how dry it might be. Because, well, we want it to be natural, right? say the environmentalists? Look at how crazy so many of those policies now look. Deadly, destructive. You're seeing thousands of people whose lives will never be the same. Everything gone. Donald Trump says, this is a series of tweets the last couple days. Fire is spreading rapidly and there's zero containment. Nobody has ever seen such failed numbers before. Gross incompetence, and he calls them out. Further on, one of the best and most beautiful parts of the United States of America is burning down to the ground, its ashes, and Gavin Newsom should resign. This is all his fault. Well, there's probably plenty of fault to go around, but Trump is right in that he has been calling for this for years, even going back to his first term. Look, you've got to redirect the water and send it south, not just for fire prevention, but for your farmers as well. They need the water. This is Donald Trump from 6 years ago, clip 14.
What's happening should never happen. I go all over the country and I meet with governors. The first thing they say is there's no reason for forest fires like that in California. So I say to the governor, or whoever's going to be the governor of California, better get your act together, because California, we're just not going to continue to pay the kind of money that we're paying because of fires that should never be to the extent. They were telling me in a couple of states, I won't even mention their name, it's like a flash. Some grass will burn. It'll be over in minutes. They'll lose 2 acres, 3 acres at the most. They won't even lose that. And here we are with thousands of acres and billions of dollars every year. It's the same thing every year. And they don't want to clean up their forests because they have environmental problems in cleaning it up. It should be the opposite, because you're going to lose your forest. You're losing them. But it's costing our country hundreds of billions of dollars because of incompetence in California. So the people, I'm speaking now for the people of California, they don't want to see this happen. They're getting destroyed. And it's hurting our budgets. It's hurting our country. And they just better get their act together.
This was a tweet that he sent out, President Trump. Governor Newsom refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snow melt from the north to flow daily into many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way. He wanted to protect an essentially worthless fish called a smelt by giving it less water. It didn't work, but didn't care about the people of California. So he saved the smelt. There you see the smelt. But he won't save the people of California or their homes. How about that? It's perfect, isn't it? Jesse Waters last night said, in case you are wondering, we didn't know what a smelt was either. It's laughable, but it's so serious and tragic and real. It's not a Hollywood movie. We're seeing it play out on the newsreels each day. Donald Trump says, I will demand that this incompetent governor allow beautiful, clean, fresh water to flow into California. He is to blame for this. Listen to Jesse Waters as he called out Newsom on his commitment to build all of these reservoirs. I think this is clip 5.
A decade ago, California voted to spend billions on water storage and reservoirs. Today, Governor Newsom hasn't finished building a single one. They've done nothing to store water in a decade. Trump was just in California this fall and told Gavin he needed to get it together.
You have so much water, and all those fields that are right now barren, the farmers would have all the water they needed. And you could revert water up into the hills where you have all the dead forests, where the forests are so brittle. Because no place is like California. I go to Austria. The head of Austria tells me, you know, we have trees that are much more flammable than what you have in California. We never have forest fires because they maintain their forests. And you have all that water that could be used to, as water, what they call water flow, where the where the land would be damp. And you'd stop many of these horrible fires.
Before Donald Trump left office, he signed an order that would funnel more water from Northern California into Southern California. Newsom, instead of saying thank you, filed a lawsuit to stop it, saying it would kill the smelt. If you don't know what a smelt is, neither did we. It's a fish.
There you go. That's from last night. As I say, comical, were it not so deadly serious. Joe Biden, for his part, he was in Southern California yesterday. They had to close some of the airspace down just so that he could get in and out, as I understand it. Maybe not from yesterday, but earlier this week. But this was Biden, and you can see, I think, the subheads or subtitles here, because it's not entirely clear what he's saying, but it's unbelievable. He's there. He's on location. Entire communities are going up in flames. And this is what he had to say, clip 11.
Astounding what's happening. All I want you to do is, my son lives out there anyway. He got his notification yesterday that their home is all burning around. Today, parents are maybe still standing, I'm not sure. But the good news is, I'm a great grandfather. I was grandfather. I'm a baby girl, a baby boy.
And as Jesse responded to that last night, I'm sure that really comforts people in Southern California that have lost their lives, their everything, their homes. Hunter's, if Sam's right, his rental property just went up in flames. But that's at taxpayer expense. And then there he is talking about being a great grandfather, as if anyone really cares about that at this moment. These people, they're so out of touch. And you can see why people would place great faith in a new administration that does have some common sense, that does want to actually put in place policies that would help people, that would prevent fires. City Journal says here, though the cause of the current blaze has yet to be established, commentators are already making familiar claims that climate change is igniting some wildfires in California, a thesis with no basis in fact. Some state and local officials even argue that high winds cause the wildfires. It says, not so. Wind by itself doesn't create sparks that trigger wildfires, though it certainly worsens them once they've started, as is happening here. It says, the most common causes of recent wildfires in the Golden State have been human activities, including arson and poorly maintained power lines, such as those belonging to the Pacific Gas and Electric Company, which caused the 2018 campfire that killed 85 people. Another likely culprit, bad forest management. There's no leadership. There's no management. There's DEI. There's minority hirings. But no common sense measures. No righteous government. It says, in 2019, Newsom issued an executive order to devote more than $1 billion to wildfire prevention. But in 2021, an investigation found that the governor had misled the people about the acreage of fuel reduction projects completed in the state, just 11,000 acres versus his claim of 90,000. He just lied about it. Look, we're taking care of you. Everybody's safe. They quietly reduce the budget for the fire department. And then when they're called on the carpet for that, well, you heard the response there from the mayor lady. She had nothing to say. She's the leader of Los Angeles, one of the biggest cities in the country. Nothing to say. It says here, a 2022 state audit and report found that California Electric Utilities efforts to reduce wildfires were inadequate and that the state's Office and Energy Infrastructure Safety had approved seriously deficient wildfire prevention plans. The utilities, including Southern California Edison, which serves the region, found Los Angeles have been burying their transmission and distribution systems underground, but the costs of doing so far exceed those associated with tree trimming near power lines. Just cut the trees back. There's always some kind of bloated bureaucracy, some kind of man-made regulation that gets in the way of common sense action to make things safer. The Federalist, they're reporting on Los Angeles, the fire department sending some of their surplus, quote unquote, equipment to Ukraine. I've already played that clip for you. Another article at the Federalist talks about how DEI impacted the firefighting efforts. Officials seem to believe that when fire forces you to flee your home, there's just one thing on your mind, the skin color and cultural experience of the firefighters who will bring you to safety. Isn't it just, it's just crazy what we've descended into. You can see why there's been such a backlash against this communist infiltration. You can, and of course, God's hand has been miraculously involved in exposing this communist attempt to take over the government of the United States. And as I have noted this week, I mean, with God intervening in so many and so many miraculous ways, then you see this playing out and you should anyway step back and say, okay, what's the message here? I mean, even the timing of all this with what my father's been talking about recently about reaching out to Laodicean Christians who are lethargic spiritually, who are blind, who are miserable, spiritually naked. And then you see all these flames pushing right up to Ambassador Auditorium. I mean, they're just right outside the suggested evacuation zone. It's that close to that region that so many people, so many former Worldwide Church of God members are very familiar with. Many of them visited there often throughout their spiritual lives. God's bringing that to our attention. I mentioned yesterday how that God's bringing the Panama Canal to our attention. God's trying to get our focus on some things that he's been teaching and proclaiming and revealing for decades. We're right here in the last days. We're in the final days in the lead up to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. You can look at 1 John 2 and verse 18 where it talks about being in the last hour. I mean, we're at a point where we have to start measuring the moments and really making sure that we don't let any of them go to waste. Satan's just bombarding us with distractions. Anything to take us away from studying the truth of God. As I said at the start, I mean, people can get so excited about some commentator that might have made a prediction 6-8 years ago. And then we think, hey, look at this. It's actually happening. What about the God, the great God, the creator of the universe, who prophesied a third of the Bible's prophecy, prophesied thousands and thousands of years ago about events that we're seeing play out right now before our eyes. The booklet today, The Lion Has Roared, and don't forget about the United States and Britain in prophecy as well. Just call our operators and request your free copies of either or both of those booklets. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.